So many things are taking place around us. Some things we have control over, and then there's those things that we don't. The things that we don't have control over, we just have to keep it moving nevertheless. Amen. God has made provisions for us. In spite of everything that's going on around us, He has made provisions for us. And we have to remind ourselves on a daily basis that God has made provisions. He has already made a way of escape for us. It's in Jesus. We want to go to the right and we want to go to the left, but it's in Jesus. We think if we leave town, we're getting away from it, but it's in Jesus. Doesn't matter. Our lives are hidden in Him. In the second Chronicles, the second chapter, seventh chapter, we're going to start with the 11th verse. You've heard this lots of times, these verses. But God gave me kind of a twist to it that I hadn't seen before. You know, we know that when you build the house of God, it put God in a spot where He got to build your house. In other words, when you serve God, you make it possible for God to serve you. People don't understand that anymore. They think you can just do anything you want, act any way you want, treat people any way you want, and still be able to call on the name of God and expect Him to work for you. And then we tend to get upset if He doesn't do it fast enough.
All right.
There was a man by the name of Brother Bowling. Excellent teacher. Wonderful man of God. We were actually sitting in Pastor Hart's office when he said it, and I cringed. I said, I'm a dead man. We were all just sitting around, just talking and laughing, and just out of the blue, he decided to say, you know what, Pastor? You're an evangelist. There's the pastor of this church. I like to die, Brother Henry. I said, because see, you'll be gone, and I'll still be here. And that's exactly what happened. He said that, and he was gone, and I was still here. And that had to be almost, what, 25, 30 years ago. So here I am, and God kept telling me, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you find it hard to stand still when everything around you is moving. Amen. Everything around you is moving. All types of storms and troubles and trials and different tribulations are taking place around you. And a lot of times those very things, they seem to affect your life. How many hear what I'm saying? They affect your life. They affect your mindset. They affect your feelings. They affect your emotions. And what the Word of God is telling us, we're not supposed to allow these things to affect us, because what it does, it removes us from our praise.
Come on now.
So here we have Solomon in the 11th verse. It says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. He prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Listen closely. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, you have to make sure you his people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then, underline then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be opened and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in where?
This
place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So, this is God talking to Solomon. He's talking to Solomon for the simple fact that Solomon did exactly according to the word of God what he was supposed to do.
That's right.
Not only, the key to it is, he built the house of God. But guess what? When he built his house, it was shaped in the image of God's house. See, we want to build a house, but we don't want it to be in the image of God's house. We want to build our own house. God said use wood, we want to use steel or metal because it's a lot easier and we think it has more endurance. But when God is in something, it'll last forever.
Come on now.
It just don't draw up and fall apart. So here we have Solomon. He's built this house. He's built the house of the Lord. He said Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. But see, he said all that came into Solomon's heart. See, he's under direction. He's under direction by David, but he's under direction by God.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Lord is talking to Solomon, getting an instruction on how to build this house. You can't build your house any kind of way you want to build it.
Amen.
It's got to have solid foundation.
That's right.
It's got to have solid beams.
Uh-huh.
You can't cheat on what you do because you'll get burned.
That's right.
Ask me how I know. I'm not talking to you about something I've heard about. I'm telling you about something I've experienced.
Amen.
And it's been this year.
Yeah.
When you try to cut corners,
come on now,
it costs you something.
Yes.
Amen.
It costs you twice what you tried to cut.
Uh-huh.
So we have to make sure we build this house that we're in, and it's got to have solid and firm foundation. What is the solid and firm foundation? It's this word. It's this Bible.
That's right.
I've learned that I can't stand on anything. I can't stand on my wife's back.
Amen.
Even though I'm sure she could hold me up. And she would hold me up. But I need to have something to stand on.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me here.
Amen.
I can't get out of this. Don't you throw my coat on the floor. Thank you, sir. She's so funny. Nevertheless, in his house, and because he did it the way God told him to do it, guess what happened? It was prosperously effected.
Yeah.
In his house, everything that he did in the Lord's house affected his house.
Uh-huh.
When we praise and we worship God, we want it to have an effect on our lives. If you're praising and worshiping God and it don't have an effect in your life or on your life, then your praise, something wrong with it.
Tell it.
Because God just don't accept any kind of praise.
Amen.
He said, they that worship me, worship me in
spirit.
And so your praise has got to be truthful, and it's got to be by the Spirit of God. And what I mean by the Spirit of God, you've got to let the Spirit of God pray through you.
That's right.
Amen.
So here we have Solomon. He's prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night. Now it's interesting that God can come to you and appear to you by night. Why? Because you've been worshiping during the day.
Amen.
You've been worshiping through the day, and God appears to you in the night.
Yeah.
And actually, if it's at midnight, it's just another day.
Uh-huh.
It's the beginning of another day. And the Lord appeared to Solomon, or he came forth unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Or I've heard your intercession. I've heard you singing songs unto me. Or the word he heard in the Hebrew means to hear intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard your word. I've heard your prayers intelligently. Why would it have to be intelligent? That means he's not just talking amiss. He's not begging.
Come on now.
He has an intelligent word for God because he's using the very word that God has placed within him.
That's right.
So the Lord said, I heard thy prayer and have chosen, selected this place to my what? To myself. For a house of sacrifice. I chose this house.
Amen.
God said, I chose you to be a house of sacrifice. And see, that's kind of scary. Where God says he's chosen your house as a house of sacrifice. Because see, you are the house of God.
Amen.
If you want to see the house of God, all you got to do is look in the mirror. You don't have to go to a certain church to be in the house of God. We turn these walls and our buildings and our edifices into the house of God. And that's not the house of God. Every time somebody comes through that door, they bring a house with them. The reason they bring a house with them is because that house will affect this house.
Amen.
You know it to be true.
Amen.
Live next door to a broken down house long enough, and yours will start breaking down.
Amen.
Unless you have the mindset to get the broken down house taken care of. It's a certain area on Evergreen that I ride down when I'm going home. Year before last, there was just one vacant house on that block. And then as I go home, I noticed that there's two vacant houses on that block. Now when I ride down through there, there's only one house on the block that has somebody standing in it. And all the other ones are vacant. What happened? Each house became like the house next to it. You got to be careful. You got to stand on the word of God. You can't allow your house to become like the house next to you if it ain't the house of God.
Amen.
Or other words, when I'm talking about the house of God, if you can't see the character, the nature of God in that house,
come on now. Yes, come on, Pastor.
Then you don't want to be affected by it.
Hallelujah.
Folks that got caught up in their own ideas and their own principles and their teaching principles and their teaching ideas, but they're not teaching this word.
My Lord.
I found out that the Bible says people would rather hear a lie than the truth. Because see, the truth has the ability to make you free. A lie allows you to stay in the condition that you're in. Amen. So God chose this place to himself, which is who we are. That's why he sent his son to show us how to get there.
Amen.
And in the process of showing us how to get there, he died on a cross, and then he said it is finished. Which meant that we don't have to keep complaining and worrying about stuff that we need, because Jesus said it's finished.
That's right.
They buried him, he rose again on the third day.
Yes, sir.
And when he got up on the third day, he had to show him again. See?
Yes, sir.
The holes in my hand. Everybody don't want to be convinced that Jesus is Jesus.
Right.
And it's going to take somebody with Jesus in them to show them that Jesus is alive in the earth. But it's not going to be easy, because you're going to be tried as if I come to a fire.
Yeah.
And when it talks about the fire, it means not just hot, but it means three times as hot. Meaning that you got to stand nevertheless. And God told us, see, we're so concerned about everything that's going on in the world. Everything. The things high, the things low, the things to the left and to the right. And God said, why are you worried about stuff that you can't do nothing about anyway?
Amen.
Worry about something that you can do something about, and that's like being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen. Come on now. Amen.
Or letting this mind be in you, which is also in Christ.
Amen.
That's the kind of mind that's not moved by trouble. That's the kind of mind that's not moved by struggle. That's the kind of mind that's not moved by circumstances. It's not moved. See, I told you once, the Bible says, Paul didn't go up to meet Jesus. Jesus came down to meet Paul where he was. Jesus came down to meet Paul in the center of his mess.
Yes. Yes.
Well, God telling Solomon here, look here, Solomon, I met you in your mess. You say, what mess? You know what kind of mess Solomon was in too.
Oh, yeah.
He might have built his house in the house of God, but he had quite too many wives. Or women he called wives. Don't nobody know. We just know he had a bunch. You're right about that, Scott. Your father like son. Amen. I know y'all remember David looked out the window and saw who? And he was messed up. He was so messed up, he took the woman's husband and put him on the front line where he knew he was going to die. So he didn't have to kill him. He had him killed. You know, I'd have been kind of suspicious, you tell me, Sister Diane. Hey, look here, soldier. I know you fight in the back, but I think I'm going to put you on the front row. I'm going to say, well, there's something wrong with that bitcher. Especially since it's a lot safer back here. You're going to sit me on the front. People want to put you on the front line.
Come on.
So that you can take the brunt of the situation while they sit back and talk about you because you stumbled because of it.
Come on.
Come on, man. Get yourself back in this. But God said this. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts. And we know what locusts do. Locusts create holocaust. To devour the land. That's exactly what they do. Or I send pestilence among my people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what?
Humble.
Shall what?
Humble.
Shall what?
Humble.
Shall humble themselves and pray. You've got to be humble enough to pray when you're in trouble. I don't know about you, but it's been a lot of times I've been going through some mess, and I just didn't feel like praying. It just didn't seem like the right time to pray. But when you humble yourself, what do you say? When you humble yourself, what you do is you say, okay, Lord, I know I don't feel like it, but I'm going to press into it. Because I know that's what you hear. And I know that you said you can't please God without faith. So faith gives you the ability to humble yourself and pray. But see, we don't understand. It's my people which are called by my name. Do you know whose name you've been called by? Shall humble themselves and pray. And see, I like it because it says humble themselves. It's talking about all the houses of God.
Amen.
All of us. Amen. Shut up, man. He said, if I shut up, means to enclose, to hold back. Heaven and clouds. If you're my people, and you know you've been called by my name, you know you've been called by your by his name because you have Christ Jesus living and breathing on the inside of you. The problem is, when people see you, they're not affected by this because they don't have the ability to say, I see you, I see your Father. What they say about when they said, I see, it means I don't have the perception to see the God in you that you're talking about.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
So in most cases, that's their excuse for not coming to church. If it ain't done nothing for you, why should I go?
My Lord. Have mercy.
Then we have to do something else. And see, look here. And it says, and humble themselves and pray. The breakdown for the word pray means to judge themselves. When you pray, it means you got to judge yourself. Evangelist John, I found out, as long as I spend time judging myself, I don't have time to judge anybody else. Because I see too much stuff in my life I got to deal with. And if I try to deal with yours, now I'm heavy burden. So I'm just going to throw yours away and pray and judge myself and keep it moving. And I can't, if I don't judge myself, it's going to be impossible for me to search out or seek God's face.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when it's talking about seeing God's face, the Bible says no man has ever seen God at any time. When it's talking about face, the word face is translated in the Hebrew. It means countenance or presence. Right. If you want to be in the presence or the countenance of God, you have got to do what? You've got to judge yourself.
Yeah.
Why? Because God searches the intents of a man's
heart.
And if God looks in your heart and see that it's filthy, then you go, oh, you just wait.
Yeah.
You're going to be waiting a minute. until you can see the error of your ways and get it straightened out.
Yeah.
Seek my face and turn, or the word turn means to retreat.
Yeah.
That means you got to run. You just can't stay there. You got to retreat. What it means by retreat, that means you got to change your mindset concerning the condition or the situation that you're in. The word of God says, I've learned to be content in whatever. And what that means is, it doesn't mean, content means strong. I've learned to be strong in whatever condition, trial, or circumstance I've got to go through. That's what God is telling us. That's why he's saying, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You gotta turn. And when it's talking about wicked, it's talking about the things that you do that are injurious to other people. Things that you do that are naturally immoral.
Yeah.
That's hard because people would have got to the place where they like what they do. And ain't no need of you try to convince them that they're doing wrong talking to them with your mouth.
Amen.
They like, they from Missouri.
That's right. Show me.
Show me. I heard a song that said, show me what you got. That's the only part I remember.
Thank you.
I didn't even know who sang the song. But I remember that part. Show me what you got. Do you have the real God? Or do you have an idol? We got to turn from our wicked ways or our injurious lifestyle. Then will I hear from heaven. You ain't going to hear from heaven till you decide that I done judged myself, found out there's some things in my life I need to get rid of, or I need to bring under subjection to the power of God. When I do that, then I'm going to hear from God.
Amen.
For the simple fact is, I might not know what you're doing, you might not know what I'm doing, but God knows what all we're doing.
Amen.
Man. You know, they talk about Satan, but he's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent.
That's right. That's right.
He can't be everywhere. He can't see everything. And he can't hear everything.
That's right.
And he can't do nothing. That's why Jesus said it is finished. Whatever he was doing has been cut off. Now, if you still want to get caught up in that, then you go right ahead. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, or I will forgive the nature that was put in them from the beginning that they didn't have nothing to do with.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. Adam screwed us up, but God said he can't keep us screwed up.
That's right.
Amen.
And when God's talking about forgiving the sin, he's saying, I sent you somebody to take it, to take over that sin. That's why in Corinthians it says, the first man, Adam, was an earthly vessel. The second man, Adam, was a spiritual. Well, see, Jesus is actually the second Adam. The second Adam came to the earth to control the first Adam, or give you the ability to change, to control the first Adam. Because the first Adam, all he wants to do is destroy you. That's why Paul wrote the 7th chapter of Romans. That's why Paul said, when I seek it to do good, evil is always present. Remember, evil means injurious. And see, what he's saying is, when I want to do the right thing, my flesh is always fighting against me. Or ideas or principles in my life are always fighting against me, telling me I'm doing the wrong thing. Anytime you're doing something nice for somebody, it ain't the wrong thing.
Amen.
But he wants us to think that it is. God said, I forgive that sin, they said, and I will heal their land. It's, when it's talking about land, it's talking about the earth and the whole world around you. That means everything. Remember God told, what did he tell Moses? He said, take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. We don't understand. Because we have this living God on the inside of us, every place we go, every place we stand becomes holy ground. And now you don't have to take your shoes off. We have to recognize who we are in God, what our standing is in God, and that the character and the nature that's in our lives is not us, but it's God's.
Hallelujah.
And you have to start calling those things that as though they are. Stop accepting things in your life. I be binding my flesh. Them pains come up, I rebuke them. They may not go away, my brother, but I'll rebuke them anyway. Yeah. I want them to know that I ain't satisfied with it.
Amen.
And I'm just not going to take it because you're there.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I want God to heal my land.
Amen.
The land I walk on, the land that I live in, the land that I am. Heal my land. Say, why? How can you be land? That's because God formed us from the dust of the
earth.
And when we die, guess what we go back to? The dust of the earth. So that means we are what? Land. Heal my land.
Come on now.
Heal my land because I'm sick of the pain. El Perez. Heal my land because I'm sick of going in my pocket and all I got is a dollar. Say, you ought to be happy you got that dollar, yeah? All I can do is give it away because I can't buy nothing with it. If you buy a dollar, if you buy candy that's for a dollar, you ain't going to like it. You're going to want a Snickers or a Payday or something. And you ain't hardly finna get that for no dollar. You can't even go to Dollar General and get a Payday for a dollar. So you get tired of that stuff. You want to be able to buy what you want to buy. Do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. And be happy about it. Heal my land. God says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. What place? You. Because now we have an advocate that can go to the Father for us.
Come on now.
How can he go to the Father before us? Because if that Christ, see, Christ's many-membered body, which we are, now have the ability, as he searches our hearts, he can go to the Father and tell him what he needs. The most simplest scripture in the whole Bible is one that we don't even pay much attention to. What's it say? Seek my face. He said, I'll provide for you. I'll heal you. When I got hit a couple weeks ago on Southfield Road, a month ago, I got hit on Southfield Road. Just got the bumper fixed. Ready to get painted. Look at my rear view mirror. I said, oh, God, she gonna hit me. I said, baby, if I swerve to the right, she'll go straight ahead and be able to stop. I swerved to the right. Guess what she did? She swerved to the right.
No.
Next thing I know, I'm going. I got out the car. I say, lady, I just got this bumper fixed. It's going to be painted in 3 days. You know what she said? She was crying. I done tore up my daughter's car. I felt sorry for her. I felt sorry for her. Because her daughter goes to school and picks up her babies. But see, she was on the phone. Somebody almost tore me up yesterday. I swerved and thought I was going to lose control of the car. But I got it back and got back, and when I rolled up on her, she was on the phone. She was asking me to forgive her, but she had her phone in her hand and she asked me to forgive her. I said, I wonder you almost tore me up. We need protection. My goodness. What was that, 2 years ago, December, I got girl made a left turn right there on Davidson of Illinois. Tore my whole front end up. Spit me around in the middle of the street. She got out to come check up, but see, she was on the phone. I said, did you see you had a red light? Well, I didn't see nobody coming. You didn't see this big old Chevy Impala going across the living room. Brother Andy used to tease me, told me, I get you get a bite. They kill me for sure, Brother Andy. If they hit me in a car like that, ain't no way in the world I'm going to last on a bike. I need a Hummer. What I need is an army truck. And I know I'm ready. Yes, Lord. Let me hurry up so we get going out of here. I need the protection of God. Dear Lord. And he has been protecting me. And I keep calling up on him. I keep seeking him. God said, don't worry. Prayer that is made in this place. 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house. I've chosen you and I sanctified you by putting my son in you.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember the Bible says, be holy even as I am holy. Yes. You can't never be holy. But you got a holy one living on the inside of you. When it talks about being holy, even he thinks, walk by my standards and my statutes and my commandments. See, we think God gonna give us something for nothing. Well, we used to figure most folks would give us something for nothing. It just don't work like that.
My Lord.
I'm gonna tell this story and I'm gonna finish. I had two pastor friends. Listen to the story. We went to Ace Hardware. And I forgot what we went to get. Anyway, my two pastor friends. This guy was outside selling DVD players. So I picked up the DVD player, and I noticed that it was side heavy. So I advised him, hey, I wouldn't get this, guys. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, I wouldn't buy the DVD. He's going to sell them both for $250. They were Sony's. And they both had the same feel to them. I said, y'all gonna be sorry. Man, be quiet. We just got a deal. It's okay. So we get back to the house, and I'm sitting there waiting on them to open them boxes. Because I know what's in their boxes. And I'm sitting there, and as they proceeded, Sister Brenda, to open them boxes, I started laughing. Because I realized he pulled out bricks from one side and a bunch of paper from the left side. And I laughed at both of them because both of them got bricks because they thought they was getting something for nothing. They got mad at me. I had to leave the house. Even his wife was laughing. She said, y'all should listen to Dennis. Y'all just think y'all always going to get something for nothing.
No.
But nowadays, hardware. An open. And 6 miles, you ain't going to get something for nothing. I don't care how good it looks. God said, look here. I done gave you something and still something in you, but I want you to give me something back. I want you to give me some praise. I want you to give me some worship. I want your life to change. I want your mind to be transformed. I want to be able to search your heart and see that you have the love of God in your heart. I require something of you. I expect something of you. Chosen to sanctify this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Perpetually means that's continually working. It never stops. It's energized. Amen. I want God to be perpetually operating and moving in my life. But I know I got to do something too. I got to seek him. I got to search him out. There's only one way you can search God out is in here.
Amen.
You know? Sorry, folks think they can search him out on TV and watching the preachers on TV. It ain't the same. It's not the same as being around a bunch of other saints who are going through the same thing you're going through, and some of them got more problems than you got, but they've learned to press and to praise God nevertheless.
Amen.
It creates an atmosphere that God can dwell in.
Yes.
That's why Hebrews says, forget not the assembling of yourself in the house of God, because it's important that we assemble ourselves together. I know when I first met First Lady, and then when I finally got a hug from her, I fell in love with her. I said, man, if she can squeeze me this tight. Now she got people looking for her. We're going to both be running up to her to get that hug. Then you got them folks that don't want that hug, say, you're going to break me. I say, you better let her break you. That's the anointing, man. It's love in that hug.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I thank God for my wife. I love her very much.
Yes.
Amen. Because I tell you, she don't take no baby steps when it comes to me doing right by the Bible. She'll let me know. Look here. Look, I can tell her what you called me. And I'm gonna stay back. I'm gonna tell her. Look here, pimp. You know that ain't what you should be doing. She'll tell me in a heartbeat, you know that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. What she said is, you got too much word in you to be making a stupid mistake like that. All she had to do was use that one word. Look here, pimp. I go, here we go. Here we go. Once she called me that, I know it's on. I'm sitting there waiting to hear what's coming next. And usually, well, 99.1% she right. I But that's what God does when he puts people together. That's what he does for us. Amen. God is great. I'm going to read this and we're going to be done. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked. And we know what David did. That means God has made provisions for you to screw up every now and then. I like that part. Because we know what David did, right?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't already talk about what David did. But God said, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. We were just talking about that. Pay attention and hearken to the word of God, he's telling you. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according to what? Or give you your dominion according to I have covenanted with David, thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if he turn away and for my sake, for your sake, forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods, you serve other men, other women. It's more important for you to ride around in your brand new car than it is to come to church. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. Because I'm really going to be up the tree. So, nevertheless, worship them. Then will I pluck them up by the gods, by the roots, out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be proverb and a word among all nations. And this house which is high shall be as astonished to everyone that passeth it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook.
Yeah.
Meaning they relinquished it, or they committed self not to the Lord, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. You know what God we serve the most, other than the Father? Us. See, we tend to think that Satan is the god of this world. My Bible tells me he's just the prince of the air. But Adam is the god of this world. And as long as he live in you, you're going to have to make a decision. Paul said, I have messed around and recognized that I got two different laws living in me. One law tells me to do what's right, and the other law tells me to do what's wrong. And I recognize that, and that's why we went back to that first verse where he says, when I seek to do good, evil is always present. The only joker that follows you to bed, in the shower, and everywhere you go is you. Constantly messing with your mind, trying to make you think things that ain't that, make you hear stuff that you ain't heard, see things that you haven't seen. To do what? To affect your emotions, your attitude, your disposition. That's why it's so important that we hold fast to our professional faith without wavering, knowing that the God we serve is greater than the God of this world. So we got to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and seek the presence and the countenance of God. Therefore, you don't have to be concerned and worried about what's going on around you. God got you. God will provide for you. But you got to do right by God. Don't think for a second if you don't do right by God, he's going to hook you up. He just ain't going to do it. My mother was a funny lady. She was a funny lady. Because I had become a preacher and I was trying to live the way God wanted me to live, I was the first one in our family. We had a big family that she ever had a birthday party for. And I must have been 39, 40 when she decided to have a birthday party for me. And the rest of my family's like, why are you giving him a birthday party? You didn't give us none of us none. My nieces and nephew, why are you getting a birthday party? I say, don't ask me, ask your grandma. She said the reason he getting a birthday party is because he deserves it. Because he's done exactly what God has called him to do. I used to hear my mother when I used to come in at night be in her bedroom praying. She wasn't praying for nobody but me. She wasn't praying for my other four or five brothers or my four sisters. She was praying for me. And she made sure I knew she was called praying for me because she was calling out my name, Lorraine. And I said, I wish she'd leave me alone. But her prayers saved my life. Amen. Amen. Why? Because the prayers of a righteous man avail as much. That's what Solomon found out. In spite of all the mistakes he made. Folks, I want to ask the question, does Solomon make it to heaven? Get there and find out. Because I'm not going to stand up here because I'm a preacher and lie to you and tell you, yeah, he made it to heaven. I don't know. From this point back, I don't know who made it to heaven. I know Jesus made it. But as far as anybody else, I have no idea. And I hear preachers telling folks, yeah, he made it to heaven. They don't know. That's why when I do homegoings, I don't put people to death. I preach to that family. Try to encourage that family. Because why would you stand up there? Yeah, he in heaven. He better. Can't prove it. I've learned. If I don't see it for myself, I don't want to hear it. Don't you tell me nothing I haven't seen. That's why God told Solomon, you've seen your father David. So now you have the ability to do what? To walk and serve me the way he did. And in spite of what David did, he was still the what? The apple of God's eye. Apple speaks of sweetness. He was a sweet, not just when it talks about God's eye, it's talking about his soul, his spirit. He was the sweetness of God's spirit. Because God knew, in spite of his stuff, he loved him. And that's what matters. Everybody stay. I've been told I'm preaching revival. My brother loves it. He thinks it's the funniest thing. He can't push me around, but she does. So he's gonna tell on me. Everybody take somebody by the hand.
But seek my face. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness and all of these things that you seek after they shall be added unto you. Not only the material things that ye seek, the monies that ye have need of and the places to stay, but I shall give you my peace, which you have need of. I shall give you my joy, which you have need of. I shall give you my power, which you shall, which you have need of, to make it through this fallow land. And I shall lead thee, for I am the Lord your God. And even as I have led the children of Israel, even as I spoke in times past to David and to Solomon, and all as I speak to my people today through my son and through my spirit, lean not to the left nor to the right, but follow after me, and ye shall see me in all thy ways, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. God said, follow him. Seek him. Call upon him. And he'll do everything he needs to do for you in your life. That's how important it is that we serve God. Paul made a statement. Nothing. You, me, or my surroundings, or my pains, or my aches, the attacks on me shall separate me from the love of God. And we have to make up in our minds that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And when we make our minds up to do that, we can run this race.
Amen.
And we're going to keep running. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stand here today, Father, I pray by the very power of God that you move in and upon our lives. People have no idea what we've been through or what we've had to deal with. But Father, we've given it to you. Because we know without you, we're nothing. So Father, we place it in your hands and in your bosom that you might strengthen us and give us the peace that we need to keep running this race and to keep trusting and believing in you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you touch our families, Lord God. Lord God, touch our friends, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you move on our behalf, Father. Those that we pray and believe God for. Father, you move by your spirit. You have your way in their lives. Lord God, I thank you right now that you're moving by your spirit on the authority of your word. And lives have been changed, not going to be changed. They have already been changed because they allow now to see things in a different manner, in a different way, Lord God. A way that will give them the strength and the peace that they need to endure as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So, Father, I thank you today for healing and for deliverance, Lord God. I thank you today for peace and for joy. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now that you are leading us by your spirit, Lord God, that we'll make decisions, Lord God, based upon your word that will help you, Lord God, be who you are and keep us who we are. Lord God, that we might establish a character and a nature that's from you and by you in the earth, that men will be able to look into our eyes, down into our hearts, and see the Lord Jesus living and breathing in us. Father, I thank you, and I give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know about peace. I had to learn about peace.
Yes.
1 year, I buried my mother, my father, my brother, and my nephew. In 1 year, I preached every one of their funerals except for my mother's. Did it hurt? Sure. Did I have a choice? No. I didn't have a choice because I was still who God had called me to be. And though they were family, I still had a work to do. Did they make it into heaven? No idea. No idea. Would I like to believe that they did? I sure would. Amen. And did nobody make it? I know my mother went. I know my mother went. She sang the praises of God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
This revival that I'm preaching, what's it called? Death out of life. Life through death. Paul said, I must die daily. We got to die on a daily basis. If you don't, you ain't going to make it. not going to do the things that God wants you to do. That's why Paul said that. He said, because I still have anger in me.
Yes.
There are things that I go through that I need the peace of God. Right. So I realized the only way to have the peace is to put my flesh to sleep and keep it under subjection to the power of God. Because this old boy living in us ain't no joke. Amen. He tears up some stuff. He'll tear up your attitude, tear up your disposition. You'll wake up one morning and emotionalize, full of emotions, about something that you ain't never had emotions about in your life. And you wonder how that happened. Because while you were asleep, he was messing with your dreams. You ever had one of those dreams where it looked like you were falling?
Yeah.
And you kept reaching for stuff and you couldn't reach, find nothing. I mean, you just falling and falling and falling and falling. I had those dreams about a week in a row. Every night I had that same dream that I was falling. And I had convinced, my flesh convinced me, the reason you fall is because you're going to hell. And I was having that dream one night, Michelle, and I was falling, and somehow I managed to call on the name of Jesus. Listen to me, I managed to call on the name of Jesus, and I came to an abrupt halt. And that's when I realized, flesh, you don't own my dreams.
Amen.
Don't get it twisted. Satan don't want to come around you if you're anointed. But somebody attacking you. And I ain't had a fallen dream in a long time. I just fall now. She's mad as this. Fall down the stairs, fall up the stairs. You're not still recording that, are you, sister? Can you edit that? Edit. Splice or something. Just clumsy, Jesus. I need Jesus. I walk into walls. I hit my knee on tables. I got more bruises on me. And I blame them on First Lady. You must be beating on me while I'm asleep. You're not recording, are you?
Yeah.
You better hit. Thank you, man. Please. We gotta go. Game come on 1 o'clock. I don't want to watch it anyway, but I got folks up in here that do. One of them is Pastor Martinez. Did I say that? See, she called me a bitch.